Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Rod Chalk.
Amen. Well, grab your Bibles. We're going to pick up where we left off last week, and I'm going to just finish this sermon. And really, it's talking about moving past an endless winter. And really, we're talking about winter. But what I'd like to do is just read this passage of Scripture first. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. We're going to go all read all the way right now until verse 18. And so we'll start again. 2 Corinthians 4 and 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus, who will also raise up us with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, and the grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the grace, or so to the glory of God. And then it says, therefore, do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day after day. Boy, that'll preach. Our inward man is being renewed day by day, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us such a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, they are eternal. This is what we're looking for. We're looking for eternal life to begin to manifest itself in our lives. I used to believe when I was younger that eternal life was just something that was for later. We maybe received it, but you know, we had to wait to heaven to get to heaven to begin to see some of these benefits of eternal life. But now I understand, and I'm realizing more and more, and I'm getting that thinking. It really was when I was younger and we just didn't know any different. But to understand that when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, that eternity began then at that moment, and I live now in that eternity with him, and that the eternity, the things of God, the things of heaven begin to be manifested now upon the earth. And guess who is a conduit? Me, you. We are conduits to bring heaven, to bring that eternal life now down upon the earth and to begin to see these things happen. I talked about last week about, I'll just run through them really quickly here, but I talked about the fact of the power of helping, the power and giving and serving, that is one thing that begins to transform us and begins to shift us and move us out. And I don't want to get caught in recap of humility. And I was telling stories about how I would rather humble myself than have God humble me, right? Because I gave him the permission. I asked him to do that. If he sees me becoming a lot of eyes in my words, a lot of unfair in my phrases, a lot of those things, then I ask him to remind me about humility. And he will. But it's not, you understand my heart in that, right? It's not something where it's like, I'm waiting, smash. No, it's a reminder again to walk in the humility of Christ. The third one we talked about last week, the power of expectation. We talked about it being a cord that's attached to something. And we know that this cord, this three-strand cord, it attaches our destiny to God. And whenever we're in a situation where we're wondering, you know, Lord, can you really begin to do something? We know that we are attached to him. Come on now, aren't we? We are attached to him, and we are expecting, even in our darkest moment, whatever the situation is, I expect that my attachment to him is going to begin to pull me out of this situation. I don't know if you've ever found yourself, but thinking that really, and this is more of a you know, it's not that physically that it was beginning to happen, but that the light was looking just as dark as the dark. If you've ever been in that situation where the daytime was looking just as dark as the nighttime, see, those moments, those times are when I cling on to the fact that I am attached to Him and my destiny is in Him. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. But the fourth thing I want to talk about, which helps us get up and move. If I could say anything to you, I hope you remember this. There's a lot, you know, there's funny stories last week, but it's time to get up and move. Come on, are you with me in this? Okay, maybe you don't understand what I'm saying. There is this sluggishness. And if you're not experienced this, just say, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. But there is this sluggishness that will cause, I have to sit there and go, no, I am going to get up and I'm going to move. I'm going to get up and I'm going to start to do something. I'm going to get up because I know I already am who I am in Christ. Don't misunderstand that. I'm not doing anything to be worthy of His presence. If we go down those roads, we're moving backwards. But in this sense, I was built and designed to not sit around. Anybody else? I was built and designed to do something. If you make me sit too long without doing something, now I know none of you get like me, you get all grouchy and just like difficult to be around. Husbands, do not look at your wives. Wives, don't look at your husbands right now. But in those moments, you know, God, I need to begin to become active again. But in this time, this is what I'm talking about, this moving out of this endless winter, that those first three things will help us to begin to move out. But this is the fourth thing, and it is the power of loading and unloading. To know what to unload and to know what to load up on in this season. And now I'm going to date myself in this, but it was just funny because I think it's called, I don't know, whatever, it's a station, doesn't matter what it's called, and you can watch old TV shows. And I was watching Starsky and Hutch. Yes, I used to dream of having Starsky and Hutch's car, okay? You know, and a buddy of mine growing up actually had it, and boy, that was fast machine. We should not have been driving at that age with that much power underneath us. But there was, I loved that show, okay? I loved that show. And in this show, I'm watching it, and Starsky, okay, they never just come up to something and park. They always screech in, go sideways, one of them's going over. They could just walk around. But, you know, it's more fun to jump over the hood, slide down, get in there. And I didn't even see any of that. All I heard in the background was the reminder. Because it was funny because I had planned to preach upon this. And I'm hearing this reminder of that the white zone is for loading and unloading of passengers. This is a no parking zone in this. And so have you ever been to the airport and seen that? And it's hilarious when you go to pick up guests that you're bringing in. Here we are to have the blessing and benefit to be close to the border. And so we can go pick up American guests. But you're the only one in the car. So you can't drive in and just, you can go and park and whatnot. And we do that at times too. But I was just trying to get over there, and I was like, no, I'll be out there right at this particular time. The plane should land. Rod will just meet you outside. It'll all be good. And you come out, and they're not there. They're not there. But you can't park and go in. You're not supposed to. And then even to the point of staying a long time in this situation, you have somebody pull up along your window. Excuse me, sir. I believe you've been here for a while. You have to move. And then you have to do what? You do the roundabout. And then you come back inside. A long time ago, the Lord had given me this sermon, this portion of this sermon anyways, and I've redone it for now, for our season here. But it's the fact of to knowing where I can't be parking, that I have been parking in this place way too long. And it's time to move. So let me give you three areas where there's no parking. Okay? We'll go through these things. So, no parking zone. And this is basically what I'm talking about when I say this, is that I've been focused there. If I think of parking something, I have turned off the keys. That vehicle is not moving. There is no one in there. It's not going anywhere, right? That's what I think of when I think of parking. So there's no parking in this. We should not be parking in our past because it will stall our present and misdirect our future. Let me give that to you again. We should not be parking in our past because it will stall our present and misdirect our future. There's a beautiful scripture in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, and it says this, "But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forward to those things which are ahead of me, I press towards the..." Even that we can look over and find in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, there is the shocking verse in there which Jesus says to him, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Pretty strong verse, isn't it? And there's this sense of moving, keeping moving, moving forward in this. I know for me, Isaiah 43 and 18 and 19 has always been something that has helped me forget the former things. Now, I've come to realize that it's pretty hard to forget some of them, isn't it? However, what I've come to realize in this process is I don't need to forget about them, but I need to be delivered from the pain that's associated with them. Because when I am delivered from the pain that's associated with them, they become a testimony that I can share without the pain and to see somebody else move into freedom. Amen? And so that is a key within that. But it's forget the former things. Do not dwell. When I think of parking, I think of staying still. This sense of times for me to see when the past is trying to creep up and smack me around a little bit, it takes a little bit for me to be able to actually see. But I'm often seeing what I see in the natural, and I forget my vision point is not seated here. It's seated where? It's seated in the heavenlies. That my vision point to a circumstance or to a situation, and maybe you're not like me, but boy, you'd think I would just get that fully down. But I still find myself in situations where they happen or when something difficult has happened, and I find myself trying to figure it out from this vantage point or figuring it out on my own or falling into the lie and the trap that, well, I messed up, so God's just going to let me do it on my own. But that is just not true. And when we begin to have this vantage point and begin to turn it, you see, I get out of parking in the past by focusing my eyes on what he sees and not what I'm dwelling on. It is not easy, but it annoyed you. None of you. Okay, good. I guess I'm the only one. Okay, in there. Like a really positive person. Every time something happens, they immediately respond with positivity, or they respond with scripture, or they respond with something. They just always respond positively and beautifully. And that used to, well, maybe I should say still, at times, can bug me. But you know why it's bugging me? Because I know it's the right thing. And I'm not doing it. Anybody been there? It's this sense of knowing that I need to have this little tongue to get under control and to begin to speak life. And that's how I move out of this no parking zone. The second part in there, but parking in the difficulty of your present will hinder the fruit that you're going to produce in the now. Parking in the difficulty of your present will hinder the fruit that you produce in your now. You see, when I think about this, comes along to mind where John, and I don't know John's situation. I don't specifically know if he said this for this reason, so let me be really, really clear in that. But John is the one that said, "Behold the Lamb of God," right? That takes away the sin of the world. We find him in jail, and he's sending Jesus a message. And the message says, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" See, the present situation had begun to be wearing on him and begin to play with him and go, "Well, I wonder, maybe it wasn't him, and maybe it's someone else." And Jesus obviously corrects that viewpoint. But in that, when we are parked in the difficulty of our present, it begins to hinder the fruit that we produce. I want to be a person that's producing fruit. Are you with me? I want to produce life in everything that I do. The third part to that is parking in your future hopes. Now, this is will cause you to neglect the present. And when I say parking, I mean stuck, right? If you ever met someone that's always talking about what's going to come. Right? Even us, we can get sometimes caught up in the fact of when God does this, wow, that's going to be amazing in there. And we can miss what he's doing right in front of us. I don't want to have it so that I'm so parked in my expectation out there that I miss what's going on around me. Or even my responsibilities that are around me.
my family that's around me. It's not, I don't want to be so focused on what God's going to do that I can't see what he's doing. Have you ever, I love it when the Lord does this. Have you ever been arrested in a moment and you see something you've never saw before? And you're like, why did I not see that? It was so simple. You meet someone, you see, you do something, and the simple, small little thing becomes so huge and so real, and you're like, Lord, forgive me. I have been saying I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. So let me give you an example. I'm waiting for revival to come. I'm waiting for revival to come. I'm waiting for this. And yet, I'm in the midst of revival. See, there's both. Both are going on. I don't want to become those so focused on what God will do that I miss what he is doing right in front of me. Amen? And so, you know, when I think of this, I think of, so how do I get moving? How do we get the car moving? How do we move forward in all of this? In the midst of a terrible past event, we need to have fresh expectation. Dr. Mike wrote a book called Expectation. Dr. Mike Brown, if you want to get a renewed understanding of expectation, I encourage you to get that and read that. I mean, you know, Dr. Mike has just been given so many incredible revelations, and that is one of them. I remember a story, if we talk about airports, that when I first came here, I was given the privilege to go and pick up Dr. Mike from the airport. I did not grow up in this area. Okay, I did not grow up. I grew up somewhere where not really near airports. There were sometimes, I was in Brampton, there was an airport in Toronto and whatnot, but you didn't go over the border to pick up people for airports. So I didn't know what I was doing. But it's like to have clear information about something and then you get in the middle of it and it's like, that clear information is just not so clear anymore. Anyways, I got Dr. Mike, I picked him up, and we were on the way back, and this was a long time ago. I think this is almost 10 years ago now. And we that was the time when all the detours were. They were everywhere you looked, there was a detour sign, so you had to make sure you were paying attention to the sign. You just couldn't get off, and I didn't know enough of which ramp. I know, and I saw the sign that said, the bridge is the next one, and I come to the next one, and all you can't get across that one. There's signs down, and I go by, and you know, Dr. Mike's like, well, hallelujah, there goes our bridge, and I'm like, and he's like, do you have a different way to get to that bridge? I'm like, Jesus, I do believe in transformation, just bring us to the other side, and I go, and I finally pull off, and I come around, and if you know, you can come off and go down, and you go all the way down, and I'm like, okay, because here's the thing, I love to listen when guest speakers are talking on the way, and if they want to be quiet, and I am too. I said, Dr. Mike, sorry, I need to focus. And I focus just for a second, and I'm coming, and there's the sign. And it says Canada's the next to the bridge, and there's no way to get up there because it's all divided up. Well, what? So I go by it again. He's like, is that the bridge we're supposed to be on? I'm like, yes. And I'm going, and so then I go, well, I'm going to go a little bit farther, and I think you can get off on the next one. I think you can go up, and if you go over this way, well, I end up in these abandoned buildings in Detroit. There ain't nobody nowhere, and Dr. Mike's looking at me going, son, you know, the voice goes down, son. It's like, do you know where you're going? It's like, no. Not anymore. And I am trying to find my way. Finally, I come back up, and I am serious. There is no way that sign was missing. Because on the third attempt, we drove by, and there was a sign that said, Canada Bridge has moved to, you know, do this, follow this detour. And we were up to the thing, and we were across, and I was so, I don't think I sang the hallelujah song so much to cross that border when we were done. And then, of course, we came to the meeting, and many of you probably remember that Dr. Mike had lots of fun with me in the middle of the sermon. But see, there's this moment, though, that I needed to know. And I went back again later on, and we were still all this construction everywhere, and a sign that was supposed to be up telling me about something was down. There was something that was missing there in that moment. And so for me, I really feel like for us right now that we need to pay attention to what God is saying. So very clearly that we need to be spending time. Can I encourage you something that you maybe if you do it already, you're going like, well, that's obvious. But if you're not doing it, try to spend 10 minutes a day and not say anything at all. Zero.
For some of you, that's easy. You just sit there. For some of you that talk a lot, like me, that can be very difficult. But just sit there and say, Lord, I have no agenda, none. I'm just here. What do you want to say? And I tell you, it will bring transformation and it will bring change to you, because God can begin to speak into our lives. The next thing about this particular thing, when I think of, and I'll just sort of try to go through this. This is the main part of the sermon today in this, but the loading and the unloading. So what are we supposed to unload? Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10 says, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed to the knowledge after the image of its creator. And it says here, to put off the old self with its practices. Now, I don't have this time this morning to tell you what it is, but there'd be a whole lot of things for me that the Lord, even like Dorman's talking about, that God begins to talk to me and it's like, Rod, it's time to go. That's got to go. That's got to go. That's got to go. That's got to go. And there's, everybody has some different things, but let me just give you a few of them that just happen to start with P, okay, in there. So the first one is this, is paranoia. Paranoia in our world is everywhere, everywhere. Everyone's looking at everybody with paranoia, wondering what your agenda is, what this is. And we need to become a people that are not seeing through paranoia, but seeing through God's eyes. Amen? We need to begin again to sit there and go, Lord, what is the treasure that is in that person that you want me to speak to bring out? So I don't have time to go into it a lot, but paranoia has got to go. That's one of the things we need to unload. In this season, pessimism has got to go. Now, I tell you, some of us don't struggle with that, but others of us, if we see a dark cloud coming, there's like absolutely going to be a hurricane on the end of it. It's just the way that it is. My parents weren't like this. But I somehow began to have this, and you've heard me talk about this before, that I was a glass half empty. Really, it should have been, I was a glass with just a little bit inside of it, really is what it was. Because I would be driving along and my car would go plum plum. And before I could get another 5 minutes into it, I had already decided that we need to drive this to the dump and just leave it there and we're going to have to get a new car. This was this pessimism that was inside somewhere else. And I tell you how it began to change with me is God began to deliver me from my way I began to think and the way I began to see. And I began to realize that I am a son of the God that created the universe. And everything then began to change inside of me. And I didn't think as much that way anymore. Another P that's got to unload is, and we've really talked about that already this morning, is our past. The fourth one is this, that what's got to unload is painful memories. Talked a little bit about that in the sense that we're not talking about getting rid of them in the sense of that we never would remember them anymore, but that they will not make the impact upon them. Do you know what I'm talking about? You'll be standing in front of somebody and a painful memory because they look like somebody. Okay, none of you all look. It's so hard to tell when you have masks on whether or not anybody. So do this for me. Yes. Because usually I can check by your faces or whatnot. But you're standing there talking to someone and they look like somebody else. And so you treat them like the person that hurts you, that they look like. Do you understand what I mean? Or you may even be able to control that to not treat them that way. But you back up for them because you presume they're going to be. And it's not up here. It's not like you look like Fred and I'm not going to trust you. No, it's somewhere back up into here. But it is this sense of these painful memories. They need to be healed so that when we see that, we recognize what you've already done in me. We don't respond that way. And then we can love everybody equally. Come on, in this season right now, it's so important to be able that we can love those that trigger us. Come on, that's a good word right there. That we can love unconditionally those that trigger us. Because we are a representation of what Jesus was like. The fifth thing that one of the ones that there's a whole lot of things that could be unloaded. But it is a partisan thinking. I'm not going to get into politics today, I promise. But partisan thinking is the same thing as denominational thinking. That we find what we disagree with, and so we separate on what we disagree with. Isn't it time that the church learned to stand with one another, even if we disagree? Now, I can say that pretty simple, can't I? I get to say that because the mic's in my hand. It is one of the most challenging things you'll ever have to cross in your life. But a partisan thinking is, you may have a good idea, but because you're on the other side, I'm not going to agree with it anyways. That's what I'm talking about. It is the sense of coming together. And here's the thing that was got to be restored to me in the church. That I see, I can find value in the person that vehemently disagrees with me. Come on now. I know this is like really hard stuff in there. But the one that vehemently disagrees with me. And oftentimes I don't get quiet disagreeers. I seem to always get the loud disagreeers. But it's in that moment to go, God, you're in them and you're in me. We are brothers and sisters. How do we walk together? If you've ever remembered, I mean, my brothers have had to forgive me in the season. My middle brother, I have spent time with him and when we lived in Florida. And I said to him, Paul, I'd like to ask your forgiveness for a few things. And I'm just kidding, but I felt like at any moment he could have pulled a little notepad out in the back and went, okay, I'm ready. Because there's going to be a long list. Because when you're the oldest, I mean, I used to sit there and you're all going to looking at me already going, Pastor Rod, you did that? Okay, I used to sit there. I was the oldest. I was 4 years older than my middle brother. And my middle brother would struggle with claustrophobia. And we used to put him into a garbage can and sit on it. And I would, now you're all like, that's terrible. It was terrible. That's why I asked for forgiveness for it. But what I would say to my friends, do you want to see the Incredible Hulk? And be like, grab Paul, stick him in a can, sit on top of the can, and he would, and he could push literally anybody off it because he'd get so angry, so mad. So I'm like, later on in life, I had to go, I am dead serious when I say this, Paul. Please forgive me. That was so awful in there. And do you know what? We got closer. We really did get closer. It's so important in this season to learn this phrase. If I get to the rest of my sermon, fantastic. You don't hear anything else from me, hear this. Learn this phrase. Please forgive me. Don't learn the phrase, there are a few things I have against you. Learn the phrase, please forgive me. And that sense of coming together. And I had to learn that when I forgave people at different times in my life, that it wasn't that I was looking for an apology. That my forgiveness to them was whether they were going to apologize or not. Come on now, that's a good word. And God is moving us into this season. Okay, so let me give you, just for a few minutes here, let me give you a few things to load up on. And I will go through them quickly here. We want to load up on perspective. If you're writing something down, write these four things down. Perspective. It is so important that we have the perspective of God in a situation. We want to be like the 2 spies and not like the 10. We want to recognize the problem and the struggle, but still see it as God sees it. We all see that there's a problem. We all see that there's a difficulty. It just drives me crazy sometimes when someone just wants to repeat what the problem is. I can see the problem too. We need to be a people who look to God, find the solution, and bring a solution into a situation. Amen? So here's what I'm going to ask you. Are you ready to be, and I know it's somebody else's word, but solutionaries, in the sense that you're going to ask God, what is the solution? What do I need to do, Lord? What is the solution in this moment? And no matter what that is, if that is to apologize, if that is to bring a different perspective, whatever it is, but we would begin to think and see the way that God does. I love it when Caleb says this. If you go over to note, and you're probably not going to be able to go over to it, but Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30, it says this. It talks about the fact of, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. They had a different perspective. They saw the same thing, but they saw it from a different view. Can you imagine? Now, listen. Is the view, if you were to see something, if the 17-foot man stood in front of you at the bottom of the CN Tower and was going to take you out, from here, position, man, does he look big. Get up on the CN Tower, how big does he look? He looks small, and it's so insignificant. When we begin to, and I know that it's not easy. Please do not misunderstand. I do not criticize them, nor do I criticize the disciples that are in the bottom of the boat, and Jesus is asleep.
Do you really think the boat is going down? Come on, think about it just for a second. Jesus is in the bottom of the boat. It's stormy. They're freaking out because the boat's going to go down. If Jesus is in the boat with you, it's not going down. It's the same with you. That Jesus is in the boat with you, and you're not going down. And it's that perspective change. It's that situation. Faith is not something where that if I just need to stir up a little bit. Faith is truly something that's on the fact that it's totally impossible for me to do, but it's absolutely probable and possible for God to begin to do it. It's absolutely he can begin to do this. Faith is what we need in this time and in this moment to rise up and believe it. But to begin to have faith, we must see things differently. Second P in this particular part of loading up on is we need to load up on purpose. I find that if I don't have purpose, I was joking with a friend of ours just recently that came over and spent some time with us. And I said, you know that I am grouchy. I am difficult. I am not someone you want to be around when I don't have purpose. None of you are like that, right? But when I need purpose in this, but here's the thing. I got to be careful that it's not my purpose and that it's God's purpose. Look at Psalms chapter 57 and 2, and it says, I cried out to the Lord, the God Most High, to God who fulfills his purposes in me. I don't want to look 20 years from now and look back and go, Lord, I spent so much time fulfilling my purpose. I'm not sure all those were yours. I want to be fulfilling his purpose in my life. Are you with me? And when we begin to do that, things begin to change. The third one is this, is promise. I've begun to realize again that I have to pick up the promises that somewhere along the way that I've put them down. I've not abandoned them, but I've just put them down. I've got to pick up the promises of God and begin not only just to use them as a life raft. I find that oftentimes people can pick up the promises of God in the midst of chaos. Putting the promises of God at the thing in this. And the promises of God will work in the midst of chaos. But I would rather build with the promises of God. Anybody with me? I would rather build. I would rather see change come. I would rather see an entire community changed with the promises of God. Not just having them to move the chaos out of my life. I want to be able to see the promises of God. So I have a question for you. What is the promises of God that he's given you that you are daily going after? And if you're in a situation where you go, you know what, I used to do that. And it's time maybe to start going, Lord, why don't I do that anymore? What are those promises? And all of us can go, well, I'm thankful for family. I'm talking about that if someone stands up in a testimony service and says, does anybody have a promise of God they're holding on to? And you go, hang on a second. And you flip over to this promise of God. And it's so rich and so inside of you. And you are building your life from that word. Come on now. Not from situations, not from somebody else's opinion, not from someone else thinks, not what someone else pressures you. That you are building your life from the promises of God. And that brings change. The fourth one is this. And that is really, I want to read to you in the Passion Translation, 1 Corinthians 4. We're going back there again. And if we look at verse 8, this is what this says. But the fourth one is this, persistence. Persistence is the key in the midst of all this time that we're in now. And it is a powerful, powerful key to move us forward. This is what 2 Corinthians 4 and 8 says in the Passion Translation. Though we experience every kind of pressure, we are not crushed. I love this. Listen, it's so different. At times we don't know what to do, but quitting is not an option. I love that translation. In this season, persistence, pushing through, and believing that my God is going to do something. Would you just close your eyes with me just for a second, and I just want to wrap this up today. I believe that through all of this prolonged winter and all of the moment of being, whether it's COVID or whatever it is, that it has caused there to become this lethargy.
And in this moment right now, can I encourage you just to say, Lord, I need your touch. I need an infusion of a new perspective. That I would begin to see things the way you see things. That, Lord, I receive a new perspective today. That, Lord, I need an infusion, fresh promise. Fresh promise. And that, Lord, I ask you this week as I begin to just make myself available and begin to pour through your word, that you would make that fresh promise just to come alive in me again today. And Lord, that I ask you for your divine purpose for my life. I don't want everybody else's purpose. I just want your purpose for my life, Lord. Fully walking in your purpose. And lastly, Lord, I know that I cannot do this on my own. Holy Spirit, we ask you for persistence that we will not stop. That we have a passion to believe that souls will be saved this year. That people will come into the kingdom. That lives will be healed and touched and transformed and changed for your glory and for your honor. And I want to be a part of it. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.